How is the Lutheran teaching about the Lord's Supper distinct from other Christian confessions? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March.
Ladies and gentlemen, the freedom to worship according to one's own conscience is at the root of our personalities and therefore at the root of all of our liberties. I'm deeply honored, ladies and gentlemen, to announce the official establishment of Canada's Office of Religious Freedom.
Prime Minister Stephen Harper announcing the formation of Canada's Office of Religious Freedom. We often think about Canada as what the canary in the coal mine when it comes to things like religious freedom. We watch them from across their southern border and we say maybe that's the future of the U.S. when it comes to this altogether very important issue, not only for Christians, but for anyone of religious persuasion. Joining us to talk about Canada's new Office of Religious Freedom and religious freedom in Canada, Dr. Robert Bugby, President of the Lutheran Church Canada. Dr. Bugby, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello, Todd. It's good to be back with all of you again.
What is your reaction to the formation of the new Office for Religious Freedom?
Well, I think for Canadians it's a positive thing on balance. I mean, like a lot of things, it will depend upon what's done with that office. But you just heard a clip from Prime Minister Harper, and he's highlighting the difficult situation faced by religious people, including a great many Christians around the world. And I think it's important for that problem to be raised in the consciousness of the Canadian population. And it's particularly important because Canada itself is secularizing rapidly. And while a great many forces in our particular society are quite happy to go to bat, for the downtrodden who are having difficulties in a great many areas of life, Sometimes it doesn't rank very high on the priority list of a lot of our Canadian people to think about religious people and the privations that they're enduring. So I really hand it to the Prime Minister for being willing to do this.
Why do you think that that announcement and the formation of this office in Canada has come in for some criticism?
Well, look, I mean, the blunt answer is that it probably does not fit exactly the politically correct agenda of a great many movers and shakers in our society. I mean, you have a somewhat similar situation. I mean, historically, of course, Canada didn't have quite the same sharp separation of church and state as you did in the United States, because if you go way back to the beginning, Canada was strongly identified with the British Crown and all that kind of thing. In more recent years, there's more conscious talk about the separation of church and state. But as you see it, I think also in the United States, for a great many people, freedom of religion really is supposed to mean freedom from religion. So you have an awful lot of people who think that, the desire not to show partiality toward a particular religion means that somehow the public forum ought to be completely sanitized, of any concern about religion or mention of religion. So I think it's really along these lines because, we do have in this society an awful lot of people that really are becoming increasingly hostile toward religious people and their views in general. So I personally think that's the reason that Harper is coming in for this kind of criticism.
You mentioned a moment ago that Canada is secularizing rapidly. What does that look like, Dr. Bugby?
Well, for example, take here in the province of Manitoba, where I happen to live, there is legislation being proposed by the provincial government to mandate, anti-bullying measures in schools, which I don't think is a bad thing at all. But the legislation even goes farther and says, this anti-bullying legislation means that schools are now going to be mandated to permit the formation of gay-straight alliances, because people will claim to have been bullied on that basis. And this mandate is even going to be foisted upon Christian schools, which, of course, have reservations about it, not because in many cases they're looking for a chance to bully anybody because of sexual orientation, but because they don't want to give their students and staff the idea that, you know, they would hold that up as being on the same level as holy marriage as defined in the Bible. And there's, if you listen to the public discussion that's going on about this or read about it in the pages, for example, of the Winnipeg Free Press, one notices a real disdain and hostility toward people that would, you know, have any concerns about that kind of legislation and the mandates that it would be bringing even to Christian schools.
As it stands now, do congregations or pastors operate under any formal restrictions when it comes to what it is they can say publicly?
No, I don't think at this point that's the case, although often I've thought, well, we may come to the point where, you know, there are people in society who would just love the chance to have certain features of Christian preaching classified, you know, as hate speech. I would guess, you know, the bigger initial difficulties will not come so much in terms of what's being preached and taught, you know, in a sacred space like the nave of a church or something like that. But some of the initial challenges have come in terms of the use of church property, that sort of thing. I think it was in suburban Vancouver that the Catholic Knights of Columbus, you know, had a hall that they would rent out, you know, for social occasions, wedding receptions, that sort of thing. And some years ago already were reluctant to rent it out to a same-gender couple that was going to have a wedding reception. And then they were taken to the Human Rights Commission. In other words, legal action was initiated against them, you know, for having behaved in that way. So I think, I think the challenges will begin there. But I won't be surprised, you know, if the day will come, you know, when the effort will be made to really clamp down hard on features of Christian proclamation that are, you know, regarded as hate speech by some people.
One thing we've noted here in the U.S. is that the definition of religious freedom itself is undergoing a bit of a transformation, or I would say a narrowing, and that is where it used to mean kind of an absolute freedom of thought and speech, not only in the sacred space, as you say, but also in the public square. Now, religious freedom in the U.S. is kind of inching toward you can believe and say anything you want to in your sacred space, privately. Mm-hmm. But in the public square, that's another matter. Do you notice that in Canada as well?
Well, I think that's exactly the mindset that's there in a great many people. And, you know, if I could explain it this way, where Canada fits in on the spectrum, I've often told my American friends, I think Canada is sort of partway on the continuum between, you know, what we would call the good old pious U.S. of A. and post-Christian Western Europe. I mean, my American friends are always reminding me, well, the good old U.S. of A. might not be quite as pious as it once was. But Canada is already, you know, probably farther down that trajectory, you know, toward secularism. I'm convinced that's the case.
Why is that? Can you explain that from a Canadian perspective? Why does Canada be farther along on that continuum?
Well, I'm not exactly sure about why that is. I mean, even politically, of course, Canada would be somewhat to the left of the United States, although, ironically enough, you know, it currently has a conservative prime minister, and in terms of its economic practices, is a lot more conservative than the United States is at the moment. But you always have had, you know, the presence of very, very strong religious groups, you know, with strong school systems, not only the Roman Catholic Church, but, you know, in the U.S. So-called Bible Belt in the South, a great many of biblically oriented churches and churches like the Missouri Synod, you know, which had a strong a system of parochial schools and Christian colleges and this sort of thing. And that sort of thing has always been a bit weaker here. And many of the historic religious groups, at least within Protestantism, the ones that took in great numbers of people, have now, in the modern age, fallen into the orbit of mainline liberal Protestantism, with all that that means. And that means, of course, there's going to be a certain weakening, of the distinctives of the Christian faith and biblical orientation and that sort of thing.
With all that said, Dr. Bugby, what does Canada bring to the table regarding religious freedom as opposed to other countries?
Well, I would say this, that one good thing is that Canada enjoys a fair bit of regard on the international stage and is thought of as a constructive presence. I mean, I think it's true that Canadians and their institutions are welcomed in a great many places. The United States, for better or worse, because of the fact that it is a superpower and has such great strength, has brought a lot of help to the world, and then other people, rightly or wrongly, have resented it sometimes for some of the same reasons. So I think there will be certain open doors in certain places to accept the views of the government and people of Canada. Now, you have to realize at the same time, in the overall scheme of things, Canada is not only not a superpower, it's far from a superpower. It's a country with a relatively small population, I think about 33 million or so. And, there are limits to what it's able to do. So I don't know, for example, if you take a country like Communist China, that Canada is necessarily going to be able to substantially alter practices being brought to bear against religious minorities there. But it will be able to raise its voice, I think, in a way that it will be heard. And I'm glad that the Prime Minister of Canada is pursuing this, despite the fact that he's receiving more than a little flack, from people in the public press and elsewhere.
Dr. Robert Bugby is our guest. He's president of the Lutheran Church Canada, and we're talking about Canada's new Office of Religious Freedom and Religious Freedom in Canada. When we come back, the Prime Minister of Canada, Stephen Harper, he's already mentioned that he is of a more conservative bent. Do we know anything about his religious beliefs and practices? We'll get an answer to that question on the other side of the break. Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We, the saints at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church, wish all lovers of the unshackled art of music unceasing grace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Since the beginning, the Church has spoken by her sacred hymns. Now is your chance to contribute to the great voice of the communion of saints throughout history with the St. Ambrose Hymn Writing Contest. Render your contribution to this great corpus of song. For more information, visit clamavi.com. That's C-L-A-M-A-V-I.com.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Spirit, pour the Spirit.
The York Minster Choir with the Lenten hymn, Glory Be to Jesus, playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. That's our 24-7, 365-day-a-year sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio Sacred Music for the World. We're following the church year. That means right here in the midst of the Lenten season, you'll hear that distinct Lenten emphasis in all the music at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's absolutely free. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Dr. Robert Bugby is our guest president of the Lutheran Church Canada. We're talking about Canada's new Office of Religious Freedom and religious freedom in that country. You've mentioned several times here the conservative stance of Prime Minister Stephen Harper in Canada. Do we know anything about his religious beliefs and practices?
Well, I think it's a matter of record that he belongs to a congregation of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. He is a member of parliament for what we call a riding. That would be, in other words, an electoral district. I guess in your House of Representatives, they would call it a district. We call it riding in Canada. In Calgary, in the province of Alberta, and those who know things Canadian will be aware of the fact that the province of Alberta is one of the more conservative places, not only politically but also culturally in the country. And all reports are that that he's active, you know, in his particular religious group. At the same time, I think it's fair to say that he's tried to do a fairly even-handed job of respecting all religious groups and respecting the fact that, you know, some people choose not to be involved in organized religion. But I'm grateful for his presence and grateful for this particular action.
What do you think would be the best use, so to speak, of Canada's new Office of Religious Freedom? How ought it go about its business? What should be its primary concerns?
Well, I think a couple of things could happen. First of all, I think it is able, you know, to speak its piece in Canada's relationships to other countries, particularly those where the rights and well-being of religious people are being grossly violated. I think that is an important thing. But within our own country, I think it will be a very helpful thing if this whole issue of religious freedom and the persecution that's going on in the world is raised on the radar of the average person in Canada. Because then a great many people in Canada, you know, through their own religious institutions and other agencies, can begin to make their contributions to the efforts to try to go to bat for some of these people that are having a difficult time. So I think the legitimizing of religious freedom as an effort within the public forum in this country itself is a very valuable thing. And I'm hoping that that will be a salutary byproduct of the creation of this new office.
So if you were to sum it up, how would you describe what's basically different, living as a Christian citizen in Canada versus living as a Christian citizen in the U.S.? How would you summarize that?
I think some of the same pressures that, let's say, students on the university level would face, you know, at public institutions in the United States would be here, too. I think the difference is that you haven't always got as many or as large or as strong a representation of churches or, religious societies and things like that, that one can sort of flee to a little bit for nurture. I think that's the difficulty. And things, of course, that are very, highly controversial in individual U.S. states, for example, the legalization of same-gender marriage and all that sort of thing. That was done federally in Canada a long time ago, even before Prime Minister Harper came to office under the previous Liberal government. So, there's some things that are still on the front burner, you might say, in the United States, and that will cause a lot of difficulty that, you know, these are sort of milestones that were passed quite some time ago in the cultural development of Canada. So I think the pressures are maybe in some ways more widespread, although they're a little bit quieter, too, because there is something that is inherently more passive, in the Canadian mentality. So while a lot of people that are opposed to religion might not, you know, go gangbusters in terms of putting a lot of pressure on religious people. Many religious people themselves, let's say, wouldn't band together and create organized movements to go to bat for religious freedom quite as readily as they might in the United States either because of this difference in temperament.
Should Christian citizens in the U.S. look to our northern neighbor in Canada and say that is a distinctly possible future for religious freedom in the U.S.? And if that is the case, Dr. Bugbee, how would you advise us to do and act?
Well, look, you and I both know, you know, the Bible says, trust not in princes. And even on those occasions where Americans have managed, you know, to elect people of great Christian principle to public office and that sort of thing, that hasn't always stopped, you know, the decay in public morals, or let's say, you know, in the level of acceptance to abortion on demand and things like that. That hasn't stopped those things. I mean, in the end, let's face it, the strongest thing we can do is work hard to establish good, strong, well-taught, active local Christian congregations in the communities where we live, and then as individual Christian citizens, to take our place in the public forum and participate, not because we want to be obnoxious or because we want to be hostile or anything like that, but because we have as much right in a democratic society to speak our piece as much as anybody else does. And I don't think that we have to be squeamish about that sort of thing. So I think that's really the strongest contribution that people can make. And the other thing is, of course, you know, the closer we move to the end of all things, there really isn't anything that's going to get us ready for all of its challenges more than constant and ongoing immersion in the Word of God, which, of course, is really a clarion call to Christian pastors for the kind of preaching and teaching they need to do, and also for the individual faithful in terms of the kind of life that they need to live, really anchored deeply in the Scripture and what it says.
How would you describe the state of confessional Lutheranism there in Canada? What does it offer Canada's secularized culture?
Well, I guess I would say this. Historically, of course, let's take a comparison again between the two countries. In the United States, historically, all the Lutherans together formed a much larger religious group than, let's say, what you would call Episcopalians or what we would call Anglicans. In Canada, it was the other way, because the Anglican Church had strong ties to England and the British Crown, which figures so large in Canada's development. Lutherans were always by far a smaller religious group, and for a long time, you know, confined to certain ethnic minorities, you know, Germans and Swedes and people of the other historically Lutheran countries. So Lutherans are not only numerically weaker than in the United States, but as a proportion of the population. At the same time, we've been able, for example, in Lutheran Church Canada recently to enter into initial discussions together with the Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops in matters where we have common concerns. And even in this matter of the Office of Religious Freedom, our Director of Communications is constantly publishing, even in the secular press. So I think it's the clarity of our confession that really gives us a chance to offer something that's rather unique in the Canadian landscape, and I look forward to that.
Finally, with only about 30 seconds, speaking for yourself and as the president of the Lutheran Church Canada, how important is religious freedom to all the rights that we acknowledge come from our Creator?
Well, I think it's very important for us to stand up for these things because, you know, there are so many things that have to do with basic human fairness and dignity, mercy, and all of these things that have been regarded as important qualities in our society. So many of them, you know, grow out of the faith that God has given to us, and I still think that's worth struggling for.
Dr. Robert Bugbee is president of the Lutheran Church Canada. You'll find a link to the Lutheran Church Canada at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Bugbee, it's a pleasure. Keep up the good work, and thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd, and greetings to all your listeners.
When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, the 5th of March. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. We'll be talking about suffering and sanctification, two things that we may not necessarily associate with one another, but in Scripture they go together rather nicely, not comfortably, but certainly rather nicely. This summer we're going to do something here at Issues Etc. for our listeners that we've been hoping to do for a long time, and the 5th anniversary of Issues Etc.'s return seemed like a great occasion to hold our very first Issues Etc. conference called the Making the Case Conference. It's Friday, June the 14th and Saturday, June the 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. It costs $100 per attendee. You can register online, issuesetc.org. Just look for the logo of the Making the Case Conference, June the 14th and Saturday, June the 15th. Here in Collinsville, Illinois. Some of the speakers include Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn, Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, Suzanne Venker, author of the book The Flip Side of Feminism, Dr. Alvin Schmidt. He'll be making the case against Islam. He's written about that extensively, and I'll be talking about making the case for confessional Christianity. That's coming up by the way, Sunday, June the 16th is Father's Day, and this conference is a great Father's Day gift. $100 Father's Day gift. Send Dad. He can be back by Sunday for Father's Day to celebrate with his family. The Making the Case Conference, June the 14th and 15th, this summer in Collinsville, Illinois. Again, you can register online and find out more. Issuesetc.org. When we come back, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. We'll talk suffering and sanctification with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, and then we'll be talking with Pastor Sam Schultheis about the benefits of the Lord's Supper.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.